Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the AMED Effect Podcast. I am Will Cunningham, and I will be your host for the next hour. So if you are new here, thanks for stopping by and checking out the podcast. And just so you know, this is where we discuss the causes and effects of Army medicine opportunities. On episode 5, I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Colonel Walters, the medical and chaplain recruiting brigade commander. We had a great conversation about her military career, from starting at the United States Military Academy at West Point to leading the medical and chaplain recruiting brigade here at Fort Knox today. Also, check out Mike Seitz from the Soldier and Family Assistance Program on our Army Lifestyle Series to hear him talk about SFA, their program, what they offer, and to provide information on different benefits offered to soldiers, their family members, and even civilians. Now, before we get on to this next episode, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but I need for you all to do a few things for me. Like this episode, comment on this episode or any of the previous episodes that you have watched, and also subscribe to the AMED Effect Podcast. You can find us on all digital streaming platforms.
Are you looking to pursue a successful healthcare career at one of the largest and most advanced medical facilities in the country? If so, look no further. The U.S. Army is here. Visit goarmy.com/AMED to learn how you can serve soldiers, their families, military retirees, and at times, the general public while providing meaningful service.
The first step to a new career starts with you. Follow the link to learn more and speak to one of our virtual recruiters today. Now, everyone, help me welcome the next guest on the show, Major Buckler. Let's give him a round of applause. You grew up in Portland, Oregon. As a young kid, how would you describe life growing up in Portland?
I mean, I thought it was pretty good back when I was growing up there. Uh-huh.
Has it changed since you have left and you go back to visit? Has it changed a little bit?
Yes. Yeah. is the short answer. I consider myself a naturalized Texan at this point in time.
Okay. Now, growing up, one of the most common asked questions to kids are, what do you want to be when you grow up? This was asked to us and is asked to kids today, in my opinion. Can you describe those pivotal moments or those key events that led to your decision to join the Army as a healthcare provider?
Well, as far as pivotal moments go for the Army, it was... That wasn't too difficult of a decision. That was by the time I had the option of the Army, it was pretty much already the best option that I was considering.
Okay. Now, after graduating high school, you attended the University of Detroit Mercy in Michigan, where you received your Doctor of Dental Surgery in 2010. As young adults graduating from high school and preparing for college, we are tasked with deciding on a degree field. For me, I was looking for a career in radio or television. I was looking for a career in radio, but I ended up in television. Prior to attending college, did you know the field or the degree path that you wanted to pursue, or did it change once you got to college?
Yeah, my dental ambitions solidified pretty strongly in senior year of high school. So college, it was biology major, go straight in that direction. And then by the time I got into dental school, it was, well, how am I going to pay for this? So the Army's HPESP scholarship was just the hands down best option for that.
Okay, yeah.
And my dad went through the HPESP scholarship too.
Oh, so dad went through the HPESP scholarship as well.
He was one of the first recipients when they first started the program.
Okay, so you have a lot of inside knowledge about how the program works and the inner and outer workings of it, right?
It was more of a nice referral, but as far as like nitty gritty help with the mechanics of it, I was basically starting from scratch on that.
Okay. Now, you grew up in Portland, Oregon, and then you transitioned over to Detroit, Michigan. What was that transition like for you coming from Portland and over to the Motor City in Detroit?
It was a change. It was different. I mean, I was I was happy in both locations, but I was happier once I graduated from dental school and actually got to my first duty station. So it was, I was single at the time, just living in a one-bedroom apartment in Detroit. So that was during the economic downturn, but that I was kind of insulated from that, partially because of the academics and partially because of the HPSP scholarship.
Now, was it the school's academics that brought you over to Detroit from Portland, or what was there a particular reason why you, how you got there? Just the,
I got accepted and I was like, yes, okay, I'm going.
All right. So the U.S. Army Medical Department offers the Health Profession Scholarship Program, as you just stated, which is something that you took advantage of. Explain what the HPSP program is for those who are not familiar about the program.
Well, you're essentially trading it's almost like you're selling a future exclusive contract to the Army for your first 4 years of your work, of your professional work after you get out, in exchange for having your professional schooling paid for. So one for one, 4 years of Army service for 4 years of paid dental school plus stipend.
Now, recruiting has always been a important role for the U.S. Army. Our recruiters are responsible for going out. They meet with students. They talk to students, and they also spread the word about the Army and the opportunities that they offer. Part of the process is recruiting the nation's top qualified medical professionals. Well, you've already answered this, but I was going to ask again. Now, you learned about the HPSP program through your father. Now, when you got to school, did you see any recruiters or anybody coming to the school to speak with other medical students about the programs that they had?
I don't recall seeing any at my college. It was pretty self-directed as far as finding the Army for that. I actually reached out to the recruiters.
Oh, so you took it upon yourself to reach out to the recruiters, figure out about that information. Well, you already know about the information, but reach out to the recruiters so that way you can go ahead and get the process started.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know what all it entailed, so I just gave the recruiters a call and they walked me through it.
Because you were a recipient of the HPSP scholarship, could you talk about the qualifications for students who are interested in applying for the program?
Well, the big four are: you've got to be a U.S. citizen, you need to be accepted into your dental school program or medical school program, physical qualifications. I mean, you don't have to be perfect physically. You can have flat feet and bad eyesight like myself. A lot of stuff can be wavered, but you do have to meet certain minimal requirements there and pass a security background check. Those are the big four. After that, at least as far as the dental corps is concerned, you're just competing with all the other applicants. So the better you do in terms of academics, your letters of recommendation, your personal statement as to why you wanted to join the HPSP scholarship program, and then kind of a catch-all on your extracurriculars or other background activities.
At what point in college should or can a student apply for the Health Profession Scholarship Program?
I would recommend getting the process rolling as soon as you start applying for dental school. Mm-hmm. They roughly follow the same timeline, and while you can't be accepted to the HPSP program until you have the dental school acceptance letter, you do want to get rolling on the paperwork, because it's not just like a standard scholarship application. Mm-hmm. It's a whole Join the Army application, which requires more work to make sure that you're qualified, go through the medical pre-qualification. If you need to get a waiver, like for your eyesight, for example, that can add a couple of months to the process. So junior year of college is when I would recommend reaching out to the recruiters, and I'm talking like early in your junior year.
So would you say that the application process is totally different from, say, a financial aid application?
There's a lot of overlap, but when you're going through the Army process, because you have to get, you're going to be an officer, so you have to go through a security qualification process. So there's some additional stuff that goes into that, security application, where you've lived for the last 10 years, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Personal recommendations that aren't necessarily academic recommendations, that's another thing. It's a fairly lengthy packet, but there's a substantial amount of overlap. So a lot of the the work that you do to apply for scholarships or to get into dental school, you'll already have a lot of that if you go to fill out the Army application.
So when your dad sent in his recommendation, he was able to put, hey, I was one of the first recipients of this program, and now my son is coming through?
I don't think he actually had any connections that helped in that case, because I was going as a dentist and he was a psychiatrist, and he was in his late 50s, early 60s. So everyone that he knew at the time was already out. That would be the sort of thing that would go into your letter of your letter of intent or your application statement.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's give a round of applause to your father for being one of the first recipients of the HPSP scholarship. Medical students often worry about how they would pay for med school, how to balance school and working, and where they will work after they graduate. In what ways did the HPSP scholarship alleviate some common pressures or worries that medical students face?
Oh, yeah. Well, every semester there was a few-week period where people were scrambling to take out student loans or find a way to finance their next semester. So being in the HPSP program really helped kind of cut that. It wasn't something that I had to worry about. It was just get a letter from the Army saying that, yes, I'm in good standing. Yes, he's still in the program. And then the school would just kind of bill the Army directly. So that was helpful. The living stipend was super helpful. I did take out I liked to live a bit beyond my means, so I did take out a couple of student loans for that. But 4 years of dental school and $25,000 in debt is a ridiculously good deal. And honestly, if I'd been a little bit more frugal, I wouldn't have even had that.
Right, yeah, understood. Describe how the financial support from the scholarship impacted your medical school experience.
That would freed up a lot of time for studying and other things and relaxation. Not that there was a whole lot of that in dental school, but it did take that major stressor off the table. And right. Also the reimbursement for things like your dental loops, the magnifying glasses, your laptop, as long as the school required it, the Army covered that as well. And there was a bunch of miscellaneous things like the practice teeth. There was several hundred dollars in practice teeth that the Army covered as well.
So would you say that that help or having that financial support from the Army was different from your other peers who were not in the program?
I mean, I think it made my life quite a bit easier than a lot of my other peers.
Now, when you complete medical school, you have the Army offers 78 residencies and 43 fellowships. Talk about the medical school that you wanted to attend. And when December came around and it was military match day, did you match to the school of your choice?
The dental corps doesn't do matches in quite the same way. So there isn't that match day scramble like there is on the MDDO side of the house. So it's a little bit more laid back on the dental side.
Okay.
One of the reasons I liked dentistry in addition to just kind of knowing that was a specialty that I was interested in from the get-go. On the dental side of things, when you go through the HPSP program, when you graduate as a dentist, you're qualified to work as a dentist. You don't have to go through a residency. One of the conditions for the dental HPSP is that you have to apply for a residency. You have to actually fill out the paperwork, but you don't have to accept it if you get accepted. So you can just do your time and get out, or you can apply to one of – the Army has a bunch of dental residencies covering all the major specialties, plus kind of a more generic catch-all advanced education in general dentistry one-year residency that's kind of a neutral year. It's a normal education year. It doesn't count towards your payback time, but also doesn't add to it like a normal residency would. So that was the one that I got into that I went with.
Now, you completed residency training at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. What was the process like for you when you were determining where you wanted to do your residency training at?
Well, there's only a few locations where the Army has dental residencies, so you're kind of limited to, all right, we've got like four or five locations, and you're going to one of those four or five. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, you have some idea of where you could end up, and then it just depends on which residency program you're assigned to.
Now, was there something is there a piece of advice that you would give to a dental student who is thinking about attending one of those residency locations on how they should pick or choose which one they would go to? Or would you say that they're all pretty much even keel?
I mean, I've been happy wherever I've gone, so I haven't really had any issues that way. As far as preference, you do rank them, and the dentist who assigns dentists, the Army takes that preference into account, but oftentimes more people want certain locations than they have slots in those locations. Mm-hmm. So the preferences are taken into an account, but you'll probably get a choice that you prefer if you rank your top three as the top three that other people are less likely to want, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You can get more predictability by preferring locations that other people are less fond of.
Okay. So you did your year down at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. You completed your advanced education in general dentistry. How would you say that training prepared you for your job in the military?
Oh, that was so helpful. The 1 year residency was like dental school the way it should have been. It was a really helpful way to kind of ease into the flow of seeing a lot more patients while also kind of getting used to the Army side of things. You had a residency, you had a faculty instructor basically for every specialty, and there was only about 4 to 8 residents depending on the program. So you had a lot of one-on-one time with the instructors and a lot of individual help. So it just, 10 out of 10 would do the AAGD residency again and the HPSP program, which is probably why I got the job in recruiting.
So when you finished in 2011 with your residency, what was your first duty location, and how did you adapt to the military lifestyle?
I think I adapted reasonably well. It's almost like a separate parallel society in a lot of ways. So there's a lot of additional things to kind of get used to, but it wasn't a particularly high learning curve. Apart from the acronyms. Right. The acronyms I'm still learning.
Yeah, me too. I'm still learning those different acronyms too. And you said what was your first duty location?
First duty location after Fort Sill was Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas.
Okay, so El Paso, Texas.
Yeah. I wanted that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I had family in Las Cruces, which is like an hour from there.
Okay, so that's why you could consider yourself a Texan now, huh?
Yeah, El Paso is officially my home of record now. Because after I got out, then I got back in, and El Paso is my home record from there. So.
Okay.
And I met my wife in El Paso, and her family's there.
Okay. Now, 2011 was a big year for you because not only did you finish residency training, but you also deployed with the Bulldog Brigade Combat Team of the 1st Armored Division. Explain to our listeners the roles and responsibilities of an officer in charge in a deployed state.
Well, I was a brigade dentist in the deployed state at the beginning of 2012. I was notified of the deployment at the end of 2011, most likely.
Because
what happened was the brigade had already deployed, and the dentist who was with them finished his term of service and was like, I'm done. So they had to bring in someone to replace him, and I had the advanced training, so I was a good option. So I went down there for a few months, and when you're a brigade dentist deployed, you're in what's called a Role 2 combat facility, which is essentially a mobile dental facility with yourself and one dental assistant that's part of kind of the local clinic. So I wasn't like the officer in charge of the entire clinic. I just had my own little dental area at the time. But it was nice. Counterintuitively, it was actually a good experience. Believe it or not, my patients were happy to see me. And if you get a deploy, go as a dentist.
Oh. Now, are there any humanitarian missions that took place or that you could speak about while you were deployed?
Not while I was deployed, but humanitarian mission-wise, in the AGD residency, we did do one medical mission to Honduras where we did dentistry on a bunch of at an orphanage. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of part of the broadening experience and part of the pediatric experience. So it was helpful and beneficial.
That's good.
And it was led by one of the Army's pediatric dentists.
So how long did you all spend in Honduras?
2 or 3 weeks, if I recall correctly.
So seeing a lot of patients, probably working
It was a full-time job. It was it wasn't a vacation, but it was still nice.
Would you say Honduras is a place that you would like to go back to visit, maybe, or for vacation or relaxation, or is
it wouldn't be top of my vacation list currently, but I have that's because my current vacation list has about 25 places on it.
Got somewhere to go after you retire, huh?
It keeps getting longer.
In 2015, you got out of the Army and you practiced dentistry in the civilian world for 3 years. How did the work differ in the civilian world? And was there a big difference on how you practice in the civilian world from the Army world?
Well, the work was the same in the sense that you're doing the same procedures. The pace in the civilian clinic was very different. The AG residency was a big help on that. And so there's a lot of differences. It's kind of the more subtle differences that I didn't really fully get until I was out and actually practicing for a while. But in some ways, no one was more surprised than me to realize that I was actually quite a bit happier in the Army, which is why I got back in, which is, again, probably part of why I'm in the recruiting job, because I can speak to what it's like on the outside and on the inside. Yeah. And there's a lot of things I loved about civilian practice and a lot of things I loved about the Army practice, but there's trade-offs in either position. Some of the things in the Army practice that I really appreciated was getting a lunch hour, which you can get in the civilian sector. But in the civilian sector, if someone walks in pain, you can't keep them waiting for an hour for lunch, essentially. If you do that, they'll walk.
Right.
And so you can take lunch in the civilian world, but that lunch might wind up costing you most of your earnings for that day.
Now, do you believe some of the skills and experiences that you gained in the military set you apart from your counterparts and from your civilian counterparts?
I think so. It was, again, going back to the AGD residency training, that was the big one. But myself and Dr. Nam were the two top performing dentists in the civilian clinic that hired us, and we're also their longest lasting associates. And both Army dentists, so the clinic liked Army dentists. I think it was a mutually positive experience.
Okay. Now before we continue, we're going to take a quick commercial break to let you all hear about the Army chaplain opportunities.
Since 1775, Army chaplains have acted as spiritual counselors who support, motivate, and provide emotional guidance to soldiers and their families. We are looking for chaplains to care for spiritual, moral, and emotional well-being of the Army. Follow your calling as an Army chaplain. Visit goarmy.com/chaplain for more information or to speak with one of our virtual recruiters today.
Welcome back to the AMED Effect. I'm your host, Will Cunningham, and today here we are with Major Buckler. Let's get back to this episode. In life, there are things that we like and there are some things that we don't like. What part of Army life do you enjoy most and what do you least like?
That's going to vary a lot from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back in 2018, the two things that were top of my trade-off list for the Army was morning PT, because I do not like morning PT. Who does? Some people. In general, if you are most productive in the evening and are a night person in general, the Army schedule is made for morning people.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, so is the dental school schedule. So if you're an evening person, you've learned to adapt by the time you get into the Army.
Right.
So that's pretty much it.
Now, you just said it. In 2018, you re-entered the Army. Talk about why you decided to return and how the experience has been since you have returned.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of things that got me back in, and none of those... None of those reasons that got me back in changed. It was a fairly lengthy list. One of the major draws was I wanted to go to another Army dental residency. because getting continuing education in the Army as a dentist was easier than private practice.
Gotcha.
Because in private practice, if you're taking time off to do continuing education, then you're losing the income from that time, and you never know whether that's going to be a good week that you're missing or a half week that you're missing. So either way, you're losing the income, you're paying for that time, whereas in the Army, you're getting paid oftentimes while you do the continuing education. And even if you're doing kind of extracurricular outside the Army continuing education that you're paying for, you can still do it while taking leave or something similar, so you're still actually getting paid for that, which makes getting the additional training a lot easier. Other things, I really appreciated getting a routine lunch hour, the more predictable schedule, mm-hmm. The pacing. I liked the pacing a lot more. Getting back to one of the myths about the Army is that it's harder to start a family in the Army, uh-huh. and I actually found that to be the opposite of my experience. I met my wife in El Paso when I was stationed there, and both of my children were born in the Army, and because they were born while I was in the Army, that made the first few months after the birth a lot easier.
Right. Okay.
I mean, contrasting my experience with that of the practice owner where I was working before, when he had his firstborn, he was back to work after a couple of days because he couldn't afford to be away. I got parental leave for more than a month. And my wife really appreciated that too.
Yeah, can't beat that. Being there to be home, help the wife with the baby. That's always. I know she appreciated that a lot. So now your dad was in the military. You grew up a military brat. Would you say you grew up a military brat or?
Dad grew up a military brat. Not so much me. Dad did his HPSP time and then got in the reserves and then got out before he retired. My grandfather actually stayed in the Navy long enough to retire. But we'd moved and more or less settled down in Portland before I was old enough to really remember.
Okay, so you didn't get to really qualify as military around stuff. Yeah. Now your kids were born into the military. How have they liked the experience of growing up as military brats?
I don't think they're really old enough to have that full conception yet. I mean, my oldest is currently 4, so he's starting to develop that. I'll find out how much what his thoughts are when we move after the summer, but he doesn't seem to be particularly concerned about it, and mm-hmm. and we've been anticipating it for the better part of a year, so it's not like it's unexpected.
Yeah, the moves are always something you have. You have your friends here, and then you have to move, and you have to go somewhere else and make new friends. So I know that has always been a issue, or not necessarily an issue, but something that we always had to deal with when you had to pick up and move when you were somewhere for 2 or 3 years, and you had all of those friendships.
Yeah, moving is always kind of a pain, but I tend to like the change of pace. So to me it's worth it.
Yeah, I liked it too because I think now as an adult I'm able to adapt to different situations, different personalities, different cultures. So it was always I loved the experience myself. Now taking it back a little bit, back when you got out of the Army, you were actually a lead associate at a dental clinic. Mm-hmm. Did you have the opportunity for any other leadership roles while you were there?
I mean, that was pretty much it.
That was it. Now,
that encompassed a lot of things. I mean, I definitely didn't want the office manager's job.
She probably had a whole lot of other stuff to deal with, huh?
She was an excellent office manager, but I did not want her job. It gave me a great deal of appreciation for office managers and support staff.
Can you discuss the leadership roles you have held with the Army that you may not have been able to hold if you were in a civilian role?
I don't think in a civilian role you'd wind up managing a very large clinic at any given time. I would expect in most civilian clinics there's not more than 2 or 3 doctors working at one time. Mm-hmm. In the Army, before I got this position, when I was still at Fort Bliss after I got back in, I got to spend about a year as the officer in charge of the East Bliss Dental Clinic. And that was about 6 or 7 doctors and more than 20 chairs.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that you had a lot more traffic coming through at like that bigger hospital. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was that, is that hospital down at Bliss, that dental clinic down at Bliss, one of the bigger ones that we have in the Army? Or?
Oh, yeah. Fort Bliss is huge. So Fort Bliss doesn't have just one dental clinic. Fort Bliss has like four or five, depending on how you count.
Oh, okay.
So so let's see. There's the hospital dental clinic, which is the smallest. There's Chambers Dental Clinic, which I think is the largest in the Army. And that's got more than 70 chairs.
Okay.
And a lot of doctors. There's the East Bliss Dental Clinic, which is my personal favorite. Dental Clinic 3, which I'm also very fond of, which is midway between East Bliss and Chambers.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have the opportunity to kind of rotate through all of them, or did you stay at one particular location?
Yeah, I wound up working at all four of them while I was at Fort Bliss. It's just kind of, you work where you're needed, and it just kind of depends on where the roles are. I started out assigned to the hospital clinic, then got assigned to the brigade got assigned to the East Bliss Clinic. Then when I got back in, I was at Dental Clinic 3, which is also where the new Fort Bliss AHD residency is. So hopefully I'll get to go back there later on as maybe an assistant program director.
Gotcha.
And then Chambers Dental Clinic I worked at while the brigade was there and a few times here and there.
Okay. What opportunities for career advancement are available for Army healthcare, and how can Army medical professionals take advantage of them?
Depends on what you want to do with your career. I can't speak to the other healthcare fields quite as much as I can to dental, but dental I've got a pretty good grasp at this point on what the options are. And so part of the reason I wanted to get back in was because I wanted the additional training, because there's no better place, I think, to get residency experience than the Army, just because you're getting paid as normal while you're getting the additional training that increases your value as a provider, whether you're inside the Army or out. But if you want to stay in the Army long-term as a dentist, you do want to do a multi-year residency, anywhere from 2 to 4 years, depending on what you specialize in, whether that's like a general dentistry specialty, the comprehensive dentistry, so to speak. That's the two-year AAGD, which is what I'm going to do in a couple of years, or endodontics, periodontics, oral surgery. That's one of the ones that we get a lot of inquiries about. Mm-hmm. Those are a lot of excellent options in that case. There's also some kind of contracting out with civilian institutions for pediatric or public health residency positions. So there's a lot of options, essentially.
And so you're saying
you
that
can. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say. So once you, if you're staying in the Army or getting additional training, either way, then there's kind of the clinical route, the administrative route. If you decided you get bored of doing clinical dentistry. I don't ever see that happening to me. But if you just like the more administrative side of things, the Army always needs the more leadership position dentists to actually kind of run things, because that takes a lot of manpower, as it turns out. And let's see, there's also the education side of things, which is helping with the residencies. And there are some research opportunities as well.
Okay, so you're saying in a couple of years, you're going to go back out and do another year of the advanced education? General dentistry?
Yeah, so I got into the two-year AAGD residency. So there's a one-year AAGD, Advanced Education General Dentistry, and a two-year AAGD.
Okay.
And they're both separate programs. The 1 year you can only apply to if you're in the HPSP program.
Okay.
Because otherwise they would just be overwhelmed with applicants. So it's kind of a, you have a one-time opportunity if you're in the HPSP program, and then that's it. But if you miss that opportunity, or you want to stay in longer, or you want additional kind of comprehensive or general dentistry training, that's what the two-year AAGD is for. Okay. And that kind of helps general dentists maintain parity in terms of rank and skill and seniority with the specialists.
Working within recruiting, how often are you able to get out and speak to any dental students, or is that not one of a role that you play?
There's been some opportunities, but most of that, I've done a few presentations, but most of it's kind of one-on-one, which was actually part of the reason I went with the Army over the Navy, just because the Army put in a lot more one-on-one effort with me, and the Army clearly wanted me, whereas the Navy seemed a lot more ambivalent.
Okay.
Back when I was applying, and that's kind of been my role here, now that the roles are reversed. So, Major Jones and I will just call people one-on-one. And often that really helps, because everyone's situation is different and you can kind of hear more about where everyone's at, so you can give them more information that they need to make the decision that's best for them.
Is there a particular question that is always asked from dental students who would like to learn more about the Army and how it operates if they were to come on board?
I don't know if there's any question that I always get. Common ones are like, what are the physical requirements? Usually they can look those up. Where will I be stationed? I send them a map because I made a map of where dentists are stationed and roughly what your odds of getting stationed there are. Two-thirds of the dental corps is in the 12 largest bases in the U.S., so it's that alone kind of helps you narrow it down.
And my next question was, but I think you already answered it, is what is a one myth about the Army that you would like to debunk? And I know you said starting a family, and you found that easy to be able to start a family. Is there any other myth that you would like to debunk?
That was the main one.
It's the main one?
It's the... people tend to have and certainly I did too before I got in. I just it just didn't scare me away because I was like, I need to pay for dental school somehow, It really is more like a normal job than most people realize, and at least when you're a dentist in the Army, it's like you get up. Yes, you wear the uniform. Yes, there are additional rules, and you're under the UCMJ rather than under standard, rather than under normal civilian law. When you're in uniform, but it really is in a lot of ways like a normal job. That was what I was pleasantly surprised to find out. It was a lot better in that respect than, yeah, there's some of the camping in the field and doing the hula hula army stuff if you're with a brigade, but even that wasn't as bad. I mean, if you like doing that, or if you want to go airborne or Rangers, you can do that as a dentist. There are training opportunities for that. That tends not to be my own personal preference. I want to maintain the Army's minimal physical fitness standards, and that was part of what else got me back in there, because I could feel that slipping when I was in private practice, and I wanted the additional incentive to maintain that. But it really is more of a normal job and less of a micromanaging sort of aspect in that way. You're not locked into being stuck on base. I live off base with my family. I've always lived off base ever since I've got back in. And as an officer, that's an option. Yeah, you can apply for on base housing. That's an option too. A lot of people ask about that. But it really is go home, take off the uniform, and then live a normal life. Go out to eat. That sort of thing.
Now, if you could give a dental student any piece of advice, what would that be?
Start planning. If you're talking about someone who's a dental student who's already in dental school, if they haven't applied for the HPS pre-program already, there are two-year and three-year scholarships, which are still a very good deal. The four-year scholarship is the best deal, but the two-year and three-year scholarships are definitely worth it. So I would strongly suggest reaching out to apply for that, to make your life better after you get out, for the first few years after you get out of dental school. As far as other advice goes, I'd say strongly consider the AEGD program. I would recommend if you get in, take it. It's a golden opportunity to get additional training, and it's kind of your own investment in yourself.
Gotcha.
And apart from that, just, pass dental school, graduate.
So you guys,
everybody needs to be told that.
You guys hear that. Make sure that you look into those different things that Major Buckler talked about. If you visit goarmy.com/AMED, you can go through there. You can see all of the different AOCs. You can look at all of find out all of the different information and even speak to one of our virtual recruiters. And then also, if you would like to learn more about the Health Profession Scholarship Program, you can visit goarmy.com/HPSP, and you can learn about the different incentives and how you can jumpstart your career with zero to little debt. Now that is zero to little debt. So, Major Buckler, at the end of the day, when the uniform comes off, your job is done here at work, what are some of your hobbies and interests outside of the service?
Oh yeah, I've got a lot, and that's not even counting spending time with my family. Mm-hmm. But I did consider myself a gaming enthusiast, computer games, board games, that sort of thing. I haven't had time to do that recently, just because we're prepping for the move. but that is still something I very much enjoy, and I have a large board game collection. I built my own gaming computer. I've done a couple of audiobooks. I enjoy doing that.
Okay.
Just the basic stuff, nothing high-end like this. Reading, just a lot of the common things.
Now, when you're done with this, with the Army, and you decide to retire, what is next for Major Buckler once you get out in the civilian world? Are you going to continue practicing dentistry, or are you going to relax for a little bit and just be the family man?
I'd like to do both. find a balance. My pipe dream is to have a mobile dental clinic.
Oh, okay.
That I can kind of pick up and move around as needed.
Yeah, I seen that. That was a few episodes or a few shows that I saw on YouTube, and a guy would go around. I think he came up to Kentucky. He went up to Eastern Kentucky, and he did a lot of different. It was like a mobile dentistry thing that he had, and he went up there and he worked on a lot of individuals too. So
yeah, I was a dental assistant in college and assisted on some of the mobile dental vans in and around Portland. So that experience stuck with me in a good way.
Okay. Now, anything else that you would like to leave to any of our listeners and viewers before we get out of here today?
I think we've covered things pretty thoroughly, but I really do strongly suggest considering the Army.
You guys heard it here.
It's a good option.
You guys heard it here from Major Buckler. Make sure that you consider the Army. Make sure that you visit those websites. I can give them to you again. That is goarmy.com/HPSP. And also goarmy.com/AMED. That's AMEDD. This is the AMED Effect, and thank you all for listening to us. And Major Buckler, thank you for taking time out of your day to come in and speak with us about your journey through the U.S. Army.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You're welcome. You guys, until next time, this is the AMED Effect.
Launch your medical career with zero to little debt with the Army's Health Professions Scholarship Program. HPSP is one of the most comprehensive scholarships available in the healthcare field. The Health Professions Scholarship could be great for those pursuing a career in one of these fields: medical, including osteopathy, dental, veterinary, nursing, counseling and clinical psychology, and optometry. For more information, visit goarmy.com/HPSP.
The causes and effects of Army medical opportunities are endless. When you join the U.S. Army Medical Department, not only will you get more out of your medical career, but you will also provide meaningful service to soldiers, their families, military retirees, and last but not least, your country. To learn more about AMED, visit goarmy.com/AMED. That's goarmy.com/AMED. And if you're looking for information on tuition assistance, visit goarmy.com/HPSP. That's goarmy.com/HPSP.